I was born bold.
Deliverr, simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au.
Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now or visit worth.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Oh, yes, 2 days, two sleeps away from the AFL Grand Final. Ben Crowe to join us in just a moment. Ryan Pappenhausen ahead of Sunday's NRL Grand Final. And, in fact, Ben is here thanks to Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's most trusted repairer of prestige German vehicles. And it's great to talk to a man who has ridden this Richmond ride since the beginning. Ben Crowe, welcome.
Thank you, Gary. Good to hear you and good to see you, Tim.
Nice to talk to you. Very nicely done. This is exciting again. The Tigers are back in contention and haven't been out of contention, to be honest, for the best part of 4 years now. And that wasn't the case when you first got involved with this footy club. So let's just remind our listening audience the relationship with Richmond and where you fit in.
I think it was 2016. Richmond did a review on the club, and connection or disconnection was identified as one of the major themes. And through that process, Shane McCurry came on, run the leadership program. Emma Murray was already doing some great work in the mindfulness side of things. And I came on to mentor some of the leaders, Damien and Trent and a few others. And yeah, it's been a nice journey ever since.
I tell you, it looks good on the CV, but we know, having spoken to you a number of times and know the work that you're doing, how significant it has been. I mean, clearly you've had big impact on the leaders and the senior leaders. But what I'm really interested in is that this is now the fourth year, or coming in for the fourth year. Have you changed? Has this changed in terms of your messaging to these guys and how they adapt it? Or is it the similar sort of message that you just try and refine? How different do you talk to Cochin and Hardwick and these people now, given you've been there with them for 4 years?
Yeah, great question. There's some fundamentals that don't change, Gary. I mean, fundamentally, they need to be a good human first and a great athlete second, and continue to own their story. But as the conditions change, and often success can be one of those determinants that can be a major distraction for us in our lives. When, you know, that's why most mountaineering accidents happen on the way down the mountain, when you think you've actually made it. You can let your guard down and ego and pride can kick in, and it's really hard to maintain that humility and that hunger, if you like, and that perspective that, you know, it's not about you. It's about the impact you can have on others' lives if you're a leader. And even Richmond, you know, they've obviously had a lot of distractions this year, but, you know, their perspective hasn't changed in terms of why they do what they do. Their purpose is not to play football. That's their job. But their purpose is so much bigger than that, in terms of, you know, connecting to thrive and win. And why they do what they do is more about, you know, connection to community and the Indigenous community and the building of their AFL, you know, W team, the women's program, and the connection to the working class around Richmond and the members and so forth. So there's a bigger perspective, if you like, that keeps them in with it, like a true north, so they can have that foundation. So when they do get distracted, and there's been a lot of distractions this year, they've got that beautiful perspective that reminds them. But as the conditions change, yeah, there's just always more distractions, Gary. And so it's kind of identifying where those distractions are coming from, accepting them, acknowledging them, and kind of working through them.
So is it more important then that the leaders of the team, of the club, deliver these things day in, day out, because that then gets picked up by the rest of the group? Is that why they're so important?
Absolutely. It always starts with leadership, Tim. It's the same at home. Parents set the agenda for the house and kids become a product of that environment. It's absolutely the same in a working environment. It's the captain and the coach is the kind of the sun and moon of the organization, is with the CEO and the president. If they're aligned on what success looks like, on the rules of engagement of the way we do things around here, kind of the mores, if you like, those fundamentals. And if you've got that alignment, then you can create that freedom within a framework to then empower your people to do those things. So, you know, if vulnerability is a theme that and you've got permission and safety to take off your mask and armor and share your vulnerabilities and uncertainties and fears in a place of safety and discuss those, you've got an appetite for the truth. And the best organizations have an appetite for the truth. So they're not in denial or making excuses when things go wrong. They can accept them, acknowledge them, and work through them.
The season has thrown up so many different challenges to not only Richmond players, but they've had their own challenges, and they've been probably questioned like they'd never been questioned during this period before over things that have taken place. Are you proud, as somebody that's helped set this up, are you really proud of what they've been able to do in terms of being able to put those to one side or just to move their way forward and find themselves in another grand final? When I reckon, you know, when you've won two already, there's a lot of reasons why you could just pack up and think, okay, well, this year, COVID-19, hub life, hated all this. We could easily just use that as an excuse and walk away.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say I'm in awe, to be frank, Tim. I'm in awe of the continuous ability to kind of show up and not let, you know, the negativity define them, and so the negative experiences define them. They're letting the courage to work through these negative experiences kind of define who they are and what they stand for. And Trent Cotchin in particular, his leadership, in particular the last few months, where there's been some major distractions amongst the playing group and spot fires going on everywhere. His ability to get that perspective and pull the people up and keep them focused on what's important and what's not important, and making sure that they own their story and they don't, you know, determine their self-worth by what's written about them in the media or in social media, and they don't get distracted by that negativity, if you like, and then they can stay true to the cause. It's been quite phenomenal to observe.
So this is the interesting one for me on this, Crowey. So they have all the distractions, and you know, the discipline issues were real, you know, off field and on. And we could, you know, you could list them, but there's a whole host of them. Yet, despite that, they continue to win and find themselves in another grand final. Or is it because of the stuff that they've had in place? Because is there a danger where at some stage they'll turn around and go, you know what? Even we can even go out and have players get on the grog, and we can even do this, we can even do that, yet we're still winning. So, you know, can there be an arrogance about what they've achieved?
If they're in denial, yeah, absolutely. It kind of comes back to their intention. But you've heard me say this before, Gaz, you know, your greatest growth comes from your darkest times. Your greatest learnings come from your most difficult times, because it unlocks a humility and a curiosity that might have been not there beforehand. So through those, you know, adversities, depends on your intention. If you lean into them and kind of make sense of them and say, right, what can we learn about this experience? How can we get better as people and as a club and, you know, as on the football field as well? So if everyone shares that humility and that hunger to get better and to learn and grow and adapt, especially in the hub, I mean, it's just extraordinary in terms of that loss of balance, you know, from the person. They're away from their families, they're away from their friends, and they don't have that balance and perspective. So to continually work through that and say, right, how can we make this a beautiful chapter for us? First and foremost, in terms of the connection amongst ourselves, and then as a football club on the field, what can we learn and grow from that? And to be able to accept the things they can't control and focus back on the things they can control and continually create the best version of themselves doesn't guarantee you'll win. It just guarantees that you'll bring the best version of you to the dance floor. And that's the only expectation, you know, over themselves. And then they can separate the demon of expectations, which is, you know, caring too much about what others think and say about them, more so than what they think and say about themselves.
Did you fear, I know you can't be there with them, but from afar, that they were losing some of that humility?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's been, they've spoken openly that they've been distracted at different stages and lost their way in different ways. But you judge someone in terms of their behaviours over time, not over one event. And I'm certainly not fearful in terms of what's written in the media or social media, because I think Tim, you asked me this question about a year ago about was I angry or upset about the media and so forth. And I said I was frustrated about the lack of understanding about what's real and what's not real. But since COVID, the media industry and news media in particular has become so negative, and we've got sucked into that narrative. And, you know, as humans, we have an incredible capacity to be kind and compassionate. But we're getting so distracted, and it's become an opinion industry and a judgment industry and a really negative one of that. So it's really important for us as football fans is to have a bit more of objective assessment and judgment and understand, okay, what is the truth here? You know, because genuinely there's, you know, AFL players are genuinely really good people who are trying their best, but we're so quick to come down so hard on them. And in order to transfer that kind of that fear, that pain that we're fearing ourselves, it creates this kind of cortisol cocktail in ourselves that we somehow get distracted and feel we have to have an opinion and judgment and interfere in so many other people's lives, when really, why do we care so much? Why are we getting so angry or having such a strong opinion on these things? And I think, you know, the whole world's getting distracted in some regards, Gaz.
You only got to look at our temper text machine to work your way through that. Some people, I think, fear what they don't know or understand, and then so they dismiss pretty quickly. But if you got it open, anyway, that's the way I'm reading it. Hey, hang on there, Crowe. I know you can stay with us. And we want to talk to you about some of the other stuff you do on the Masterclass. Sold out 1,000 tickets in 5 days. That was just a bang away it went. So I wonder if you're going to do any more of them. A lot of people asking, but I've got more questions about the Tigers. We'll take a break. We've got to get to Nath Brown, and we'll be back with Ben Crowe.
I was born bold.
Deliverr, simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au. Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now or visit worth.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us. Ben Crowe also has joined us, which we love. Every time he does, we get such a fantastic response. Crowe, your masterclass, the public masterclass you did, 1,000 people, bang, sold out.
Yeah, it was actually Tim's idea. That interview we did about a year ago, that kind of went nuts. Tim said, why don't you do something broader than that? And this was a gap year, so I figured I could kind of scale the themes. We're actually creating a digital mentor, like a mentor in your pocket kind of thing that will roll out in January. But as part of that process, we're doing a couple of masterclasses. And yeah, the feedback's been phenomenal. We've got our last one next Tuesday night, I think. It's almost sold out for the second one as well. And what's been fascinating has just been the response around just understanding those three mindsets and those three questions: who am I, what do I want, and how do I get there? But the whole objective of the masterclass is kind of an introduction to those themes and how to build a confidence in yourself and a confidence in your journey and a performance confidence as well. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
That's next Tuesday, October the 27th is the next one. So we'll give all those details out again next week. France, Germany, USA, UK, Japan, China, they all joined in. So we'll give the details next week. But over to you, Whispers.
Well, Craig, I know you're passionate about your work. You're a board member on the AFL Coaches Association. And I know that Al Clarkson spoke about this during the week, about the number of coaches that have found themselves in difficult personal situations post their coaching career, that type of thing. What are we getting wrong in the game now regarding our coaching appointments and around coaching and their welfare?
Yeah, or whether we're getting it wrong, but I guess the fundamental principle is for anyone going in, if you get a promotion in your job, or you become a captain or you become a coach, whatever you do externally, it's so important, Tim, to separate your self-worth from your business card and separate the person from the persona. Because the conditions of your life will continually change. You know, you'll win and you'll lose, right? That's just a part of life. But your self-worth has to be unconditional. It's got to be bulletproof. But if you believe you are the persona, if you believe your self-worth comes from whether you'll win or lose a game of football, yeah? So you're actually, letting go of that to the whim of external factors. And so often what happens when someone they may get coach or captain or you get a promotion, if you can't own that unconditional self-worth and believe that your job is to create an environment for others to be successful, if you think it's about you, that's where you'll get caught up in ego and identity. And there's typically five archetypes that can sabotage your success as a leader. The first one is imposter. You've probably heard of imposter syndrome. That means you don't believe you're worthy to be in this role and you go very insular. The second one is the rationalizer, where you kind of haven't established your core values to enable you to make decisions. So you start rationalizing and being in denial and making excuses for your behavior. The third one is the loner. And in Australia, there's a lot of, really good stoic Aussie loner kind of leaders who too scared to ask questions. They don't build mentors around them. You know, they don't ask for advice, if you like. They think they have to have the answers themselves. You know, you might be the glory seeker. That's the person who wants to get the credit for everything, hasn't, identified their intrinsic motivations. And the last one is the shooting star, the person that works their ass off and might achieve a lot in a short span of time, but leaves a trail of carnage and destruction behind them in terms of their family or their friends. Now, we all have elements of those archetypes in each of us. It's identifying which one is more pronounced, because there's antidotes to those five archetypes. But if you don't own your unconditional self-worth and you go into a coaching job and you listen to the narrative, you think that's real, right? By virtue of that, 17 out of 18 people are going to hate you by virtue of barracking for another club. So it's really important to, if you have that unconditional self-worth, you can let go of craving recognition of others. You don't care what others think about you. It's what you think about yourself. It's what you say to yourself. And then you've got the courage to fall down and get up again. You've got the courage to go after your dreams, to try and win a flag. You've got the courage to be disliked, Tim, because you don't want to be disliked, but you've got the courage to be disliked, because it's more about what you said about yourself that's important.
But Crow, you sit on the board for a coach selection, okay, and you've just outlined those five things. How do you identify those five things during the interviewing process for a prospective coach?
Yeah, understanding their backstory, understanding if they're comfortable in their own skin and they know what they stand for, they know what they believe in, they know what their values are. Yeah, they know what their strengths and their weaknesses are. They know what their blind spots are. Yeah, whether they embrace vulnerability as a strength and where they're open and open-minded and curious and creative and innovative, or whether they're quite closed and closed-minded and defensive and on the back foot and, you know, feeling like it's about them. Do they have a philosophy of leadership that is about creating an environment for others to be successful? Do they have a purpose and a vision, if you like? So, yeah, making sure that, you know, they're a good human first and comfortable in their own skin before you start talking about football and winning games of football. Yeah, so the sequencing of that is really, really important.
Yes. Do you think we've put the other part of it before that part that you're talking about too often?
So much so. Yeah, the smell of liniment inside, decision-making inside, and not just AFL, but sports organisations all over the world. Yeah, they get so distracted by what's important, if you like. And you look at any great coaches around the world, and Tim, you know many of them yourself as well, that, you know, the fundamental principles of their success is as a human first and as a professional second, because it's always the human factors that will become the distractors that will self-sabotage when things go wrong. So yeah, that it's so important that we get back to those basic principles first and foremost. And if we overlook them and just focus on, you know, their knowledge of the product or the game or football and so forth, yeah, the chances of success are diminished quite significantly.
I can't help but keep thinking of Chris Fagan when you talk about all these things in terms of, putting ego aside and understanding where you are as a person. And he lived his life, basically, like without having to throw himself into that spotlight until such a stage where I think he was ultimately absolutely ready. Like, it wasn't the most important thing in his life, but he had a great balance around it. He knew what was important, and it's, to this point anyway, been successful.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's a really good example. And he's, you know, he's had a beautiful apprenticeship and surrounded himself with great people and great mentors and learned the things that he wants to make a part of him, get rid of the things that he doesn't want to make part of him. And what's left is the sum of who he is, if you like, and his philosophy and his principles. And that kind of shapes his perspective. And players probably love him for that, because he treats them as a human first and as athletes second, if you like. And that compassion and kindness and care for others, you know, actually shows up on the football field as well, Gaz.
Hey, Crowey, it's absolute sensation. I love it. We love it. We love talking to you. There are so many people who are texting at the moment who also are on the same. Well, they love to be challenged and they love to hear and learn. And then you get the odd one who says, what is this garbage? So you understand. That is how it works.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's how it works.
Everyone's open to their opinions, Gaz.
Yes. And what they don't understand scares them. I think that's also very true. Hey, I know you're a big Tiger, obviously big Tiger man. Are you confident of a victory on the weekend?
I'm confident they can win. Yeah, whether they will be dependent on so many other factors. But I'm in awe of, as I said right from the outset, over the last 4 or 5 years, how they think and what they prioritise, and then the decisions, the choices they make accordingly have been so in sync with, you know, purpose mindset and connection mindset. So, you know, the harder you work, the luckier you get, Gaz. So, yeah, they're definitely they put themselves in that opportunity.
Great stuff. Great of you to jump in and join us. The masterclass is on October the 27th. I'm already getting messages to find out when it is. So we'll get all those details. We'll plug it again next week. But we love you coming in, and good luck, mate. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tim.
Ben Crowe with us for Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started with news headlines. Ryan Pappenhausen, he's going to be representing the Melbourne Storm. Our man, I thought I saw a wisp in Garrity celebration with his try on the weekend. We might ask him. He's coming up after the news headlines.